Yeah, put on your prayer list too. We need some restroom walls. We got the doors, but no walls. So, I mean the stall walls, right? We have real walls, but we need unless y'all just want to pretend like you're in a third world, you know, another country or something when you sit down. So pray for those walls to come this week. Amen? Amen. We need those walls to be expedited, and we'll get our restrooms just set just right for you here in the West. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who quickens us. Thank you, Lord, that these words are your words of life. They are spirit and they are life. We open our hearts now to hear your voice. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We're listening. It's a busy world all around us, Lord. There's things pulling at us left and right, but we will take these next few moments to hear what you have to say to us. Teach us and draw us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This has been our keynote verse, Romans 5:17, for several weeks now, if you'll look at it there with me. For if by one man's offense death reigned. Let me say this about that. Sin is costly. Sin is costly. You want to listen to some good old-timey preaching on sin? Listen to some Billy Graham. I've got an XM radio station in my car. I can turn on Billy day or night when I'm driving. I love it. He preaches. It's like 24/7 Billy Graham preaching. It's worth paying Sirius XM just to hear Billy Graham. And so Billy knows how to preach on sin. And he'll remind you of the cost of sin. This says, this scripture here says, by one man's offense, who is that?
Adam.
By one man's sin, death reigned. Did you know when you sin, you don't just affect you? I worked with a guy one time. He said, you know, I figure I can live any way I want as long as I don't hurt somebody else. That's not true.
That's right.
Because if you're self-centered and you live for yourself, you are hurting other people.
Yeah. Right.
The Bible teaches us to draw our soul to those who are in need. Draw out our soul. What does that mean? Get beyond your comfort zone. The other day I was at Home Depot and I talked to a man. He was in the parking lot. I just felt drawn to him. And I saw that he was driving the same model of car I had, so I thought, well, there's something in common. So you got to get creative with evangelism. You don't just walk up to people and say, hey, do you know Jesus? I mean, you can if the Holy Spirit prompts you to say that. But there's a creative way to do it, too. You know, how many of you know Jesus used creativity when he fished? He told Peter, he said, throw your net on the other side. And that catch of fish won Peter to Jesus. Why? Because fish talk to fishermen. And so I was talking to this guy in the parking lot. I said, hey, how do you like your Altima? And he goes, kind of looks around like, are you actually talking to me? And I started talking to him. We got talking about cars. And before you know it, I realized in talking with him, see, his sister recently passed away. And this man, he had a Christian sister. So I thought, I'm the answer to her prayers. It's no accident I run into him today. And so I started talking to him. And the Lord just started drawing him and drawing his heart. And why am I saying that? Because, again, it's not right to say I can live any way I want as long as I don't hurt people. Your sin will kill people.
Right.
Your selfishness will kill your neighbor. Why? Because they're going to hell and you don't go tell them. You can't just live any way you want. Hey, newsflash, kingdom life is about being unselfish.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Nothing will teach you that quicker than being in the ministry. It'll pull the slack out of every area of your life. You want to just be selfish. And why? Because there's times when I want to do what I want to do. And the Lord says, no, you need to go pray for so-and-so. Well, you're my sheep. I go do what he says. I'm under the great shepherd. And it says here, by one man's offense, death reigned. Death reigned. How much more? You ought to have that underlined in your Bible by now, surely.
Yes.
Circled, highlighted. Much more. Say it with me. Much more. Much more. What does that mean? When Jesus came on the scene, he saved us with a great salvation. Amen. Our sin was this high. Jesus came and he exceeded the need. Amen. He always exceeds the need. Much more. Say it with me. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Hey, we don't just reign in life. We reign in life through him. Amen?
Amen.
We're connected to a person, not just a principle. See, self-help books, you go into Barnes & Noble, there's all kinds of great books. I love books, so I used to love to go into Barnes & Noble. But after a while, I realized these books are all just trying to help people help themselves. You can't help yourself.
Nope.
We're lost. We're stupid. We're sheep. We need a Savior.
Right.
We need a Savior, or Jesus died for nothing.
Right.
And it says here that we will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You don't reign in life just because you're helping yourself and you're real good at discipline and you're, hey, those are all great things. People in the world, they're real good at, you know, I get up at 5 in the morning. I do this. I do that. That's great. That's great. Are you saved? You can't save yourself. We reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a person that saves us. Amen. It's a person that enables us to reign in life. Much more. I talked to somebody the other day and I said this. I said, you know, whatever you face, He gives more grace. Are we learning that? Are you learning that? Listen, take what I teach on Sunday and go apply it Monday through Saturday, and then we'll talk about it next Sunday, right? You ought to be putting this into practice. I'm putting it into practice every day, because trust me, I've had some stretching and pulling and straining and in the flesh. I could have just conked out these last several weeks, several months working on this building. But no, what am I doing? I'm learning to draw on the grace. It's not me. It's not me. We had some problems come up yesterday. I was like, I'm not going to sweat that. 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 Jesus fixing the problems. Because whatever we face, you forgot it already? Whatever we face, He gives more grace. Come on, say it with me. Whatever we face, He gives more grace. Don't forget that. That's what Romans 5:17 teaches us. Much more. Much more. So don't panic. Don't panic. Panic is a sin for a believer. Panic is a sin for a believer. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believers aren't to have a troubled heart.
Right.
Now, you may be like me, and I'm working on this, but in the past I would say stupid things like, I'm worried about them. I'm concerned for this. I'm burdened for that. Really? He's got the whole world in His hands and you're going to be burdened for that? No, He gives more grace.
Amen.
You cast your burden at His feet and take the grace.
Amen.
He doesn't want you carrying a heavy load. He wants you carrying His grace.
Yes.
He comes to relieve our heavy loads. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do work in the kingdom. We don't labor. We don't strive. Paul says, I do all things. He said, I do everything for the sake of elect. I bear everything for the sake of the elect. Yes. Look around the room right now. Just take a look around at these people in this room. Are you willing to say that from your heart?
Amen.
I'll bear everything for you.
Yes.
For you. For you. I'll bear everything for you. That's what Paul said. I'll give my life for the church. Now that's different from what I'm talking about. But we're not called to worry. We're not called to be anxious. We're not called to carry a heavy burden or worry about, I worry about my kids. Don't say that.
That's right.
You pray for your kids.
That's right.
But you don't worry about them.
Amen.
That's a sin.
Because
whatever you face, He gives more grace. You're getting it. And He doesn't just give grace. He gives what? What does Romans 5:17 teach us?
More.
What does that word say? That's a great King James word. You ought to latch onto that right there. Abundance of grace. See, many times we get into a situation and we go, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I just don't know what I'm going to say to my boss. I got this meeting I got to go to money. I don't know. I'm not ready with my presentation. Or, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get this tax bill paid. I don't know how I'm going to get my roof paid for. Why not blah, 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 Babylon. But when you take it to Jesus,
amen,
you release the grace by your faith. And He always gives an abundance of grace. It's more than you need. And it always overwhelms us, doesn't it? Come on. You didn't know how He was going to work. You didn't know how last week's going to work out. And look, you made it. You're in church on Sunday. You survived. You're here. Why? Because of His abundant grace. Hallelujah. That's a good place for a praise break right there. If y'all want to praise Him, you can thank Him. I'll pause while you tell Him thanks. Praise the Lord. Now that word receive is real important in Romans 5:17. They which receive. You see the key to winning in life? How do we reign in life? We learn to receive. Religion will teach you give, 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 give. Now, it's good to give. You need to be a giver. But religion says, oh, don't be asking for God for your desires. Don't be asking God for your wants. Don't be asking God to, you know, don't be bothered. It's almost like God's like this executor somewhere and He's in the middle of a meeting. We can't disturb Him. Are you kidding me? His name means Savior.
Yes.
Jesus, I'll save my people from their sins. J-E-S-U-S. S-U-S is like sustain. He's our sustainer. You're not meant to sustain yourself. And those who receive will reign.
Hallelujah.
So what do we got to learn to do to be reigners in life? Be a good receiver.
Amen.
And that's why I say pray about everything.
Yes.
Turn your prayer life on about everything. You say, oh, God doesn't really need to be bothered with that. Okay, do it yourself. You know what happens after a while, after you live life for your by yourself, on your own strength? And this is what happens, even Christians. You get good at living life on your own strength, even though we got a God who's willing to help us and sustain us.
Amen.
And you don't pray, you don't ask Him for the help. Mm-hmm. After a while, it's like an engine that's running out of oil.
Yes.
You know what happens when an engine runs out of oil, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Starts grinding. And next thing you know, you can ask my brother-in-law, next thing you know, you'd be shearing off metal inside there. And those metal bits get inside the moving parts, and that's really not good. Well, that's what happens to people. Those folks you hear fussing around the water cooler on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning at work, you know what? You know why they're fussing? They got no grace.
Mm.
They're trying to live life on their own. We got grace.
Amen.
Not just grace, we got an abundance of grace. Amen? It's there. Just tap it. Just be a good receiver. Receive. That word receive means continually present tense.
Yeah.
Continually present tense. And we have some great hymns that address this. Oh, what needless pain we bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need Thee every hour. Mm-hmm. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every hour.
And He's there for us every hour. You can't outspend God's grace. You can miss the grace, but you can never outspend it. Aren't you glad you got a rich Father? Some of you are still wrapping your brain around this idea of R-I-C-H. I know it's difficult for some of us because we've always associated rich with greed or rich with haughty or rich with arrogant or rich with just obnoxious. I have a book at home called How to Be Happy Though Rich. That's a great title, isn't it? Because we've always, as religious Christians, we've always looked at people, Suzette, and we've said, well, yeah, they got a nice house over there, but I bet they're not happy. Are you kidding? You could be happy and rich. I'm going to try. How about you?
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus stripped Himself of everything to provide it. I'm going to be happy and rich. I'll be generous and rich.
That's right.
Be humble and rich.
Amen.
Be thoughtful and rich. Be non-obnoxious and rich.
Amen.
You ever met a rich person who's humble? They're the most wonderful people in the world you'll meet.
Yes.
They really are. I was in the piano business. We sold pianos that cost $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 or more. I dealt with some very wealthy people. Now, some of them were obnoxious. Some of them were very obnoxious. I can remember a few. I can see their faces. They stand out in my memory for their obnoxiousness. But then I met some people that were like, man, you remind me of my uncle. I mean, I feel akin to you. And I got nowhere near the wealth you got, but there's something about you that's warm and friendly and family. And you love your kids. You're a good dad. It's amazing. And you're rich. Wow. It's possible.
Yes.
For those who receive the abundance of grace and His righteousness. And we've talked about that. I want to say this about Jesus' righteousness. You can't ever get there. You got to put it on by faith every day you wake up.
Yes.
I'm not just pretty righteous. You know, people say things like, he's a good Christian. What do they mean? He doesn't cuss as much as I do. No, we're not supposed to be a good Christian. We're supposed to be the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
You say, we'll never get there. No, you won't. But you can put it on by faith every day.
Amen.
I'm righteous by faith today. The book of Colossians says, ye are complete in Him.
Amen.
What does that mean? You know, the way, if Jesus comes right now, some of us have worried for years about the rapture because we always feel like I'm never ready. I'm telling you, you're ready right now.
Amen. That's right.
Ready as you'll ever be. Because it's only He that makes you ready.
Right.
You're complete in Christ. Right now. You say, well, I got all these broken pieces. I've still got a temper. I've still got this. I've thought, blah, blah. You're complete in Christ.
Yes.
Right now.
Amen.
It's His righteousness. We've got much more to say about that. But the focus of my message today is actually prayer, believe it or not. I don't know if we're going to get there before noon. But it's called Prevailing Prayer. That's the name of today's message. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Prevailing Prayer. This was all just warm up. Luke 18. One man said, if you get the righteousness piece in place, it's like winning the lottery.
Right.
Well, that was a great statement. What does he mean by that? If you've got righteousness, if you're assured of your righteousness before God, you can ask Him with confidence for anything.
That's right.
You can believe for healing and have no doubt in your mind. Why? Because you're not hung up on your, well, I lost my temper yesterday, so I guess I'm not worthy to be healed. Or, I fought this or I did this in my heart and I'm not worthy to be healed. No, when you get the righteousness peace in place, you can step into the throne room with such confidence, you'll ask for the world. And this explains answers to prayer. I prayed for something yesterday and God answered me, just like one of these immediate kind of answers to prayer. I go, oh, that's kind of cool. What was it like, Kevin, on one of those Home Alone movies? He goes, oh, that really worked, right? He prayed for his mom at the end of the movie. Remember that?
Yeah.
He said a prayer at the Christmas tree and he turned around and there's his mom. Wow, that really worked. Sometimes I feel that way. What does that mean? It's just an assurance that, hey, we really are righteous before God. Because we read a scripture last week, it said, God does not hear sinners. And that's true, unless they're crying out for mercy. He's got no obligation to answer the prayer of a sinner. But we're not sinners anymore.
No, we're
righteous.
No,
so when you pray, God hears you. Wow, newsflash.
Yeah.
When you pray, God answers your prayer.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to read here in Luke 18. Are you there?
Yeah.
Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Boy, that's a powerful verse right there. Men ought always to pray. That's a great t-shirt. And I didn't make up the slogan, but that's a great t-shirt slogan right there. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? Saying, there was in a city a judge. Now here goes Jesus with a little story. Which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You think he was a smart judge?
Mm-hmm.
He may not have been a God-fearing judge, but at least he knew how women act, right? They're going to come. They got a need on their heart. They're going to let you hear about it until you take care of it. He was a smart judge. And and the Lord said, no, where I lost my place because I said that. I'm in trouble now. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, his own children, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now that King James right there on that last part, bear long with them, that really doesn't explain very well. Let me read it to you. Most of your modern translations say something like this. Will he keep putting them off? That's a better translation of that last part of that verse. Will God keep putting his children off even though they cry to him day or night? What's the obvious answer?
No.
God is just. He's not an unjust judge like in this example. Jesus, he's drawing a contrast. He said, if there's an earthly man here who's unjust, he doesn't fear God, he doesn't regard man, and yet a widow comes to him day and night and she's begging and pleading, he goes, she's not going to leave me alone till I take care of this. And he'll answer her. And Jesus is saying, God's children come to him day and night with their needs. He's not going to keep putting them off, is he?
No.
That's an obvious answer. No. Now look at verse 8. Here's the key. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Circle that word. Underline that word. Highlight that word. God answers our prayers speedily, quickly, in a flash. Amen? That's how God responds to his children. He loves his children more than you could ever love your earthly children. And when his children cry out, what does God do? He answers them speedily, speedily. Nevertheless, now when Jesus says nevertheless, that's a pause. That's an idea stopper. He's saying, hold on. I got one more thing to say to you. That's what he's saying. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
Good.
I want to challenge you with something. Anytime you read your Bible and you read a scripture related to the end times, the last times, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. I want you to take note of it because we could be that generation that are the end generation.
Yes. Yes.
And wow, what a privilege.
Yes.
What a privilege. You ever played group sports? You ever played team sports where, like maybe a relay race where you have four runners and you're part of that relay team? What do? You cheer that runner on, leg one or leg two or leg three. Maybe you're the final leg of the race and you're cheering on your teammates. Why? Because if they win, you win. And if you perform well, the whole team wins. Everybody benefits. Did you know that's how it is in the kingdom? You're not just out here serving Jesus on your own in your generation and then, no one else knows about it. No, heaven's watching you and I right now.
That's right.
You're the answer to somebody else's prayers. And you're going to carry the baton so far, and me too. And we may be the generation that gets the last effort at the baton.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to challenge you, anytime you read a verse in the Bible that talks about the end times, or when the Son of Man is coming, say to yourself, that's for me.
Yes.
Don't read it and say, oh yeah, that's just future.
Yeah.
A fool says that. Foolish people say, well, they've been saying that for generations, that Jesus is coming. Ha, 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 my grandpa. Yeah, they used to talk like that. Ha, ha, ha. People laugh. That, don't be an idiot.
Amen.
Jesus could come today.
That's right.
And we need to live with a sense like our grandparents did. Jesus could come today.
That's right.
They were smarter than we are sometimes. We're to the point now where we're so sophisticated, we're like, ha, ha, those old hicks, you know, they were terrified that Jesus would come. I'm telling you, they lived the right way.
That's right.
We should live soberly. What if Jesus came today? What would be the last thing you do on earth? That's how you should live.
Yeah.
And Jesus said here, when He comes, when Jesus comes, will He find this kind of faith? What kind of faith? Prevailing faith.
Yes.
Faith that won't quit, like the widow. Faith that asks day and night, night and day and night, night and day, until that judge, that unjust says, I give up. Yeah, what was it you were coming to me for? And He gives her what she needs. And Jesus says, will He find faith on the earth? How does He define faith on the earth? People who won't quit in their prayer life. Do you see it?
Yes.
When Jesus comes, will He find faith on the earth? What does He define as faith on the earth? A person who won't quit asking.
Yep.
Like the widow. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Can make the connection there in the Scriptures. When you read a verse, they're all connected. The ideas flow. The Holy Ghost knew what He was talking about. He's not ADD. He doesn't say one thing here and it's not connected. They're connected. When Jesus comes, He's looking for a people who what? Pray constantly.
Yes.
And don't give up. Go back to verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Amen? That's what Jesus is looking for in the end times. We're in the end times. So what should we should be doing? Praying and not quitting. Praying and not giving up. Praying and not feeling like God's not hearing me. Oh, what use is this? Don't be that way. Why?
Amen.
Because we could be the end time generation. We could be the last of the last.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Now, we've got examples in the Old Testament of prevailing prayer. A man that comes to mind, I'm sure you've heard the stories of him, Daniel. And you know, Daniel prayed 3 times a day, even in the midst of and in opposition to government mandates. We got a good taste of the government mandates a couple of years ago. I don't know about you, but I didn't care for it. People tell me I had to wear a mask here and wear a mask there and stand so far apart from you and you apart from me. I didn't care for that. I saw a lady in Galveston go to her bank and she decided she'd break the rules. She got arrested. I didn't care watching that on TV. That really annoyed me. I was rooting for the lady, actually. I was hoping she'd kind of waylay that sheriff and give him a piece of her mind. But, you know, because it was a whole lot of government control kind of trying to come down the pike. Government mandates. Well, Daniel lived during that time. I'm really not that violent. I'm sorry. I was rooting for the lady. I got to tell you when I saw that. Daniel lived under government mandates, and the mandates were these people tricked the ruler of Babylon into saying nobody can pray to any other god, and Daniel decided, okay, I'll open my shutters when I pray. Ever been there? You see, you're not under obligation to a tyrannical government to obey them. Daniel said, I'm going to open my shutters when I pray. And so he prayed 3 times a day in opposition to government mandates. Now look what he did in Daniel chapter 9. Are you there yet? No, I didn't ask you to go there yet. Daniel chapter 9. We'll strike that from the tape, but that's my personal feeling. Daniel chapter 9. You know, I didn't know this till several years ago. I got a little more educated about firearms, we'll call them. Years ago. And to my surprise, I didn't know this, but there are nations around the earth where the government already has demanded all their people give up their guns.
Oh, yeah.
Those governments can rule any way they want
right.
to their citizenry.
Right.
They are under complete tyranny, potentially, to those governments. Now, not in every case they do it, but in many cases they do.
Mm-hmm.
America has been free for a reason.
That's
all I'm going to say about that. Let's get back into the Bible here. Daniel chapter 9. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 19, Daniel cries out to God in prayer, and he prays a prayer that it was noted by one minister that it took about 3 minutes long to pray this. Now, you may have heard this teaching from Andrew Womack. I'm going to borrow a little bit of truth from him today. Some of you that heard that, but how many of you know repetition is all about watering?
Yes.
So if you say, well, I've heard this, just hear it again, okay?
Yes.
Let the word water you. All right, so Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 19 is a prayer that he prays that takes about 3 minutes long to pray. You can go home and try it yourself. I used my stopwatch yesterday and tested it. He was right. Andrew Womack was right. And it took about 3 minutes for the answer to this prayer to come. That's a pretty quick answer to prayer. Right?
Yes.
That's like Kevin saying, wow, that really worked. It happened fast. Now, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. Are you there? Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 21. While I was speaking in prayer. So he hadn't even said amen yet. The man who I'd seen previously in the vision, Gabriel, at the beginning, he was caused to fly, how? Swiftly, in the King James, underline, circle, highlight. What did we just read in Luke 18? That God, when He answers His children, He will answer them speedily, quickly, right? You get the same idea? This angel came to Daniel swiftly. He touched me about the time of the evening oblation or sacrifice, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now look at what he says in verse 23. At the beginning. Amen. Did you underline it?
Yes.
Not yet? Okay, I'm giving you a prompt here. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth. When does God answer our prayers when we pray to Him?
At the beginning.
And this angel came swiftly to Daniel, and he said, at the beginning of your prayers, the commandment came forth. I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Now that sounds like New Covenant talk to me. How about you?
Yes.
What did God say to Jesus when He came up out of the River Jordan? You're my beloved Son. That's New Testament talk, isn't it?
Yes.
And this angel says, Daniel, I've come in answer to your prayers. Why? Because you're greatly beloved. That's powerful. How many of you know we are greatly beloved in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Whatever God thinks about Jesus, He thinks about you. You're greatly beloved. And he said, therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now he comes and he gives that an explanation to Daniel. I want you to see here that it took Daniel 3 minutes to get his prayer answered. That's swiftly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, some people might assume that God can answer anything instantly. And we're not told in this chapter why it took the angel. Why did it even take him 3 minutes to get there? Did he have to pack his bags? He's coming across the universe and took a little bit to go a billion light years from there to here. We're not told, are we?
No.
So we don't answer for Scripture. We can surmise. But 3 minutes is pretty quick, right? The Scripture teaches us here, Daniel had not even said amen. And yet the angel arrived. So that's a pretty quick answered prayer, is it not?
Yeah.
It is. That's great. But let's don't assume that God deals with space, time, and distance like we do. Some people assume that God can just be there instantly. Now, He's all powerful. He could. But obviously, in this world, there are limitations. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. There was some sort of limitation that kept the angel back for 3 minutes. That may not seem like a long time, and it's really not to get a prayer answered. But it is some time. It is a delay. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So let's don't just be thinking religiously about God. Let's understand that when we pray, there's something that has to happen, not only out there, but in our universe.
Yes.
And in our world. And in the heavens above us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For the prayer to get answered. Let's be realistic. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Daniel prayed in chapter 10 a second time. And we're going to look at that prayer as well. Will you look over in chapter 10 with me, verses 1 through 5. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me. I know lunch is on the horizon, but this is more important. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Ever felt that way? God give you a promise, but the time appointed was long? So what did he do? He understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. And so I, Daniel, verse 2, was mourning for 3 weeks. So that means he was fasting. Mm-hmm. See, when you stop eating, you don't get happy anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Ever fasted?
Yes.
It's not a happy time. And that's okay. Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. And in the King James, the wording is very accurate. I mourned for 3 weeks. Why? Because when you cut off food, you go into mourning pretty quick. And I want to note this. I started to say this last week. I don't know where my brain went, but that's okay. Jesus didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast.
That's right. That's good.
So fasting is something a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, should do on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean you have to be like Daniel and fast 3 weeks every now and then. But a meal here, a day there, what does it do? It humbles you. It puts you into a state of mourning. Why should we be in a state of mourning? Because there's sometimes when we go from our heart, we cry out to God and say, I can't be happy until this prayer gets answered. Mm-hmm. And so to cut off food for a meal or a day actually joins your soul with what you're feeling inside about that prayer request.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So fasting is a good thing.
Amen.
I did some recently. Mm-hmm. And it's so good for you. It just like Terry was talking about earlier, it recalibrates you.
Yes.
Don't worry, you'll get to eat again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get happy again.
Mm-hmm.
But fasting puts you in a temporary mode of mourning, in a sense saying, God, I'm not happy because this needs to happen. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes add fasting to your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Skip a meal.
Amen.
Put away your coffee. Whoo, that'd kill some of you. But, you know, skip a meal. It won't kill you. You'll get to eat again. But Daniel said here, I was fasting. I got lost there.
All right.
Verse 3. And I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself. He didn't take a bath for 3 whole weeks. I'm glad he was out there in the woods on his own. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Wow. Who's that? An angel? Now skip down to verse 11. Here's what he said. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. There's that talk again. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for unto you I am now sent. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, when? From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself. See, that's what fasting does. Fasting chastens yourself. Before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. That's powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
What does it teach us? From the first day that you go to seek God, guess what? He's already hearing you.
Amen.
Now, how long had Daniel been fasting?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Chapter 9, he got his prayer answered in approximately 3 minutes or less. In chapter 10, he goes to praying, and the angel says, it took me 3 weeks to get here. Big difference. Was it a harder prayer? Well, we don't know. One minister surmised that maybe the devil wasn't happy when he saw the answer come to Daniel in chapter 9, and so he put up more resistance in chapter 10. That's a very logical conclusion, because we read, look in the next verse. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he's not talking about a natural prince. He's talking about a spiritual prince, a spiritual ruler. He withstood me 1 and 20 days, all 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael's a warring angel. He came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days. The angel here said, from the first day that you set yourself to mourn and seek God, I came. But what happened? The kings of Persia, what are those? Again, these are not natural. You can't hold an angel back in the natural. These are spiritual angels, what we would call them demons.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual rulers over Persia. Where's Persia? Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we having a lot of trouble these days? Iran. There are spiritual principles, spiritual angels that were working over the area of Iran, right next to Israel on the map, if you look at it. And this angel, Gabriel, says, I got held up. You ever got stuck at a train, got held up in traffic? You called your friend, your relative, say, I'm trying to get there, but I'm hung up. That's what this angel said, essentially. I'm hung up for 21 days until Michael, the warring angel, came and delivered me. So what do we learn from this? God answers our prayers when? As soon as we begin praying them. Do we see the answer? Not always. Not always immediately. Thus, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not faint. What if Daniel had withdrawn his faith and quit on day 20? I'll just give you this little tip. When you decide to fast, don't go back on it.
Yes. Amen.
If you say I'm fasting from sundown until breakfast, then keep it. Don't get up at midnight and raid the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Stick to what you vowed. Stick to what you promised. Mm-hmm. Just set yourself. It's easier that way. Trust me, it's easier that way. Just set the time. Say, I'm going to fast till 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm not having coffee till 4. I'm not having another drop of food until tomorrow at lunchtime. You set yourself. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much that stomach growls, how much your brain thinks of... You know, I got a whiff of Shakey's pizza last night. Now, Shakey, for those of you that don't know what Shakey's pizza is, they've been out of business for decades. They were around back when I was a kid. I don't know who taught all those guys to play the banjos and the... Never mind. Some of you don't even know Shakey's Pizza. But I got a whiff in my head of Shakey's. Well, let me tell you something. When you go to fast, you're going to smell some food in your brain. That's why you got to make a vow. That's what I'm saying. You just make a vow. Say, I'm not eating until such and such time. What if Daniel had given up on day 20 and said, man, I got to have me a lamb burger. I got to have some mutton. I got to have some manna. I got to have, you know, whatever it is. what if Daniel had given up on day 20? We wouldn't have this revelation. Because obviously that angel was hung up until day 21. Are you with me?
Yes.
Our faith has a part to play.
Amen.
We teach that here. We don't believe, well, if it's going to be, God will just make it happen. No, He won't. Now, let me give you a logical example. God wants everyone to be saved, does He not?
Yes.
But He's limited. He can't force Himself on man to be a Savior to Him. The Lord told me this years ago. He said, Jesus will save you if you let yourself be saved. It's like a lifeguard, right? What do they teach lifeguards? Anybody ever been a lifeguard? My daughter was a lifeguard back in her teen years. And they'll teach you. If there's someone out there flailing around, you don't go near them. Until what? They're just starting to go under. Why? Because they won't let you be saved. They'll take you down with them. But Jesus will save you if you let yourself be saved. So our faith has a part to play. One man noted this. He says, many Christians believe you should, quote unquote, roll with the punches. He said, well, I was taught that, and most of the time I felt like I was getting punched and spent the rest of my time rolling. And see, there's a devil in this world. We don't just roll with the punches. If God tells you go across the Sea of Galilee, meet Him on the other side, then you go whether there's a storm or not. Mm-hmm. You follow His word. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you there's probably going to be a storm. You don't roll with the punches. You stand up at the front of the boat and you say, peace, be still.
Yes.
I'm going to the other side.
Yes.
That's what we're called to do.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't roll with punches. We punch back.
Yeah.
So it took 3 weeks because of demonic opposition to Daniel to get his prayers answered. And I'm sure during that time, Daniel must have thought, has God gone silent? Chapter 9 only took him 3 minutes. Is God not listening? Is He ignoring my prayer? You ever felt that? Nobody. You've already gone to lunch. Come on. Ever felt like God's ignoring your prayers? He's gone silent. It's been more than 3 minutes. It's been 30 minutes. It's been 3 hours. It's been 30 days. Or more. Daniel must have felt that way. What he didn't see behind the scenes was there was a fight going on. Many times when we pray, there's a fight going on.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my point to you today, saints. Sometimes there's a fight going on. But God says here, from the first day. However, you know, I always teach you about the great buts that are in the Bible. Right?
Right.
You know, but God. Right?
Yeah.
But grace.
Yeah.
But He giveth more grace. Right? There's some great buts in the Bible. But this is one of those places where the angel said, but the prince of Persia withstood me. What's he saying? There was spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you latch onto the promise of God and you say, this is what God wants me to have. And you start praying it, confessing it, pressing after it.
Mm-hmm.
But
the prince of Brazoria
County is withstanding your angel to get you the answer. Then the other but in that verse said, but Michael came.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God always gives more grace.
If we
continue in our faith.
Yeah.
Daniel didn't give up in his faith.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some takeaways here. What are the principles we take away from this story? God answers instantly. He did it in both times.
Yeah.
God answered instantly both times.
Mm-hmm.
His timing is always immediate.
Amen.
When it comes to God's answer to your prayers, it's always immediate.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to get you shouting right there.
Amen.
What did Luke 18 teach us? Swiftly. God will give us justice swiftly. But God is not the variable. That's what we learned from Daniel's story. God is not the variable. People receive differently. Some people quit after day 3, day 10, day 12, day 20. Daniel persisted to day 21. So people are the variable. Are you with me?
Yes.
Your faith is the variable as to whether you get your prayers answered. Listen, if you're praying for the right thing, this is where we listen to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes our prayers are for the wrong thing. I heard a minister say he was praying for a boy's eye to be healed. And at one point they had been praying for a long time at the altar. And the Lord spoke to him and said, he doesn't need a healing. He needs a miracle.
Oh, that's good.
And about the time God spoke that to that minister, his buddy that was joining him in prayer for this child as they're ministering to him, the Lord told him, and he spoke up, he said, God just showed me that what he needs is not a healing, but a miracle. And the first guy realized, I heard from God when I heard that in my spirit. And they realized, they asked the boy and said, and what is exactly wrong with your eye again? He says, well, I was born without a retina. I don't have the necessary parts in that eye to actually see. So then the first minister goes, okay, I got it. We're not praying for a healing today. We're believing for a miracle.
Amen. Yeah.
And so they quit. They changed their prayer. Sometimes you got to change your prayer.
Yes.
He changed his prayer from asking for a healing to speaking forth a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they laid hands on the boy again, and guess what? They held up their fingers and the boy could see. Because he got his miracle.
Amen.
So you got to make sure when you're praying, every now and then you pause, you say, Holy Spirit, am I on track? See, sometimes we pray for the wrong thing. And that's, you know, there's no condemnation, there's no guilt in that. We just got to get on the right track with our prayers.
Yes, that's good.
But if you're on track with your prayers, you're asking for the thing that God has willed to give you and has promised to give you, you persist. Because there are spiritual forces that will try to resist the answer to your prayers and to mine. Amen?
Yeah.
In Daniel's second prayer, Satan was the variable, not God.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel didn't fast to try to twist God's arm.
That's right.
He was fasting to stand and to hold his position of faith before God. Now, Daniel didn't have what you and I have. He didn't have the name.
Yeah.
In fact, he didn't even know it was the devil holding up his prayers. Till the angel got there and told him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just thought God was withholding.
Yeah.
Must have thought that. They didn't have a sense back then much about the devil and his workings like we do now. We got the whole New Testament Bible explaining how the devil works.
Yes.
But we also have what? The name of Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
What does that mean when we say we have the name of Jesus? We have authority over the devil.
Amen.
Do you know what that means to say you have authority over the devil?
Yep.
That means you can command the devil. That's what authority means. So if you're having difficulty in prayer, maybe it's time to stop talking to God and start talking to a force that's trying to hold back your answer.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin was praying for his brother's salvation years ago, and the Lord showed him something similar to that. He said, you need to bind those spirits that are blinding Dub's eyes to the gospel. And when he did that, within weeks, the man came to Jesus. He got saved. Why? Because he was asking God for something, but it wasn't time to ask God. It was time to take authority over the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do that with our words just as easily as we pray with our words. We pray to God with our words, but you also need to bind the devil with your words.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Satan, I command you, loose this situation. Satan, I bind your hands. What are you doing? In your faith, in your heart. You're not binding his hands. No, you're doing it from your heart, in your faith. You're saying, I bind you, devil. You cannot operate here. You're forbidding the devil to operate. And guess what? When you say it with authority, with faith, God makes it so. God sends his angels. God sends his Gabriels. God sends his Michaels. But you've got to exercise that dominion. And then you'll see the prayers answered. He didn't have what we have that enables us to shorten the time between amen and there it is. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. Prayed. There was a time period there. We can shorten the time. Folks, if you'll get a hold of this in faith today, you'll speed up the answers to your prayers. Because instead of sitting back and thinking, well, God's just not hearing me. I'll try again tomorrow. He must be busy. In the old days, a phone line actually had a busy signal, right? We just go to voicemail now, but they actually went, in case you're a younger generation, you don't know how it sounded like. It means they're on the phone right now. You're not getting through. God's never on the phone in the way that you won't get through. You'll always get through. But if he shows you in the spirit, hey, there's a demonic force trying to hold up the answer to this prayer, then you take authority over that in Jesus' name and you speed the thing up.
Yes.
Let's get that prayer answered. Amen?
That's right.
Between amen and there it is, let's shorten the time. Why do we don't have to wait 3 weeks. We take authority over the spirits. Amen? Let me show you one quick example in 2 Kings chapter 13. This is such a good story for us as New Testament, New Covenant prayers. People, women, and men of faith who pray and don't faint. That's who we are. Amen? Because we may be the last generation. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, in the end times, in the last days, will I find this kind of faith on the earth? The kind of faith that says, God, I'm not letting go till you answer this. I pray night and day, like the widow begged that judge night and day, day and night. That's the kind of faith we need to have in these days. Amen? 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14, now Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness wherewith he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What does he mean by that? You know the story. Elijah and his servant were in a house and it was morning and the servant got up and opened the window and he said, we're surrounded. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. He said, there's more with us than be with them. And the Bible says the servant looked and God opened his eyes and the whole town was surrounded by horses and chariots of fire. That's where the movie title comes from, Chariots of Fire. And this king here, he's crying over Elijah as he's dying. And he's saying, my father, the horses and chariots of Israel. What's he saying? He's saying, you, the prophet, you represent the military might of the God of Israel. Hey, listen, when you operate in your authority in Jesus, you're as good as an army.
Amen.
You're as good as horses and chariots. That's what he was saying to Elijah. He's saying, you are, in a sense, you are the invincibleness of this nation because you, the prophet of God, you know how to hear from God. You know how to flow with God, move with God. Amen. That's us, saints. Amen. We're like Elijah. And that's why he called him that. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. Elijah said unto him, take a bow and arrows. And he took unto him bows and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hands on the bow. And he put his hands on it. And Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance upon Syria. This was a prophetic act that had symbolism. Amen. Sometimes God will have you do something outwardly as a symbol. He may say, in your prayer closet, dance for 5 seconds. And trample the serpent's head. That's a prophetic act. We do it by faith. And God does something in the spirit when we do something by faith. Amen. That's what he was doing. He said, you shoot that arrow. It symbolizes God's victory. Now look what he says in the next verse. Verse 18. He said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smote it 3 times and stopped. Now that's interesting, isn't it? He kind of took the arrows in his hand. He's looking at the prophet like, what do I do next? Oh, okay, smite the ground. Thong, thong, thong. And he stopped. Look what it says. And the man of God was wroth. That means angry. Verse 19. He was wroth. And then he said, you should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then you would have smitten Syria till they were consumed. But now you shall only smite them but 3 times.
Wow.
That's a great picture for us, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
What does it teach you? Persistence. Don't quit. Smite the ground till you conquer. Amen. Romans 5:17. We started with that verse at the beginning of the message. We're called to reign in life. Amen. We're called to conquer. You keep smiting the ground. You keep smiting the enemy in prayer. When you go to God in prayer, you don't stop after 3 times and go, bum, bum, bum. Okay, I guess he's not hearing me. No, you smite the ground. You smite that prayer closet. You strike with your prayers into the spirit realm until you break through. Amen? Until you conquer. That's what this story is telling us. Listen, I want to just conclude with this. John chapter 11. Flip over there real quick. New Testament verse. John chapter 11. This is the way we ought to conclude every prayer in our hearts, at least. Maybe even with our words, I believe. John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus teaches us how to pray.
Hallelujah.
Remember, you're in Christ. The way the Father responds to Jesus' prayers, He responds to your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Two of you got that. Yep. The way God responds to Jesus' prayers, He responds to your prayers.
Yes.
Because you're in Christ. Whether you feel spiritual today or not, look at what He says in John 11, 40. He says, Jesus said unto her, did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He's talking to Mary,
yeah,
the sister of Lazarus, who was dead. He said, didn't I tell you if you would believe? And it's implied like this, believe and keep on believing.
Yeah.
Believe to the very end, Mary. Where were they at when He said this? They were standing in front of the tomb with the stone.
Yeah.
In front of it. And He said, roll away the stone. He said, Lord, He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. He said, did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
Hallelujah.
Folks, believing is a persistence. It's like striking the ground multiple times. It's not just, oh, I believed. I got the T-shirt. I believed yesterday. It's no, where are you today? Where's your faith today? He said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Look at verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said this. Look at these words. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. We should make that the conclusion of our prayer every time we pray something. Father, I thank You, You have heard me. And I know that You always hear me. Amen. If we learn anything from the life of Daniel, we see that. We see even under the old covenant where he had spiritual resistance, he had no authority over because the name of Jesus was not given to them yet. But yet he stood his ground. And after 3 weeks, the angel came and brought the answer to him. And he said, Daniel, God heard you the minute you prayed. But there was a delay. And Jesus said this, I know, Father, You always hear me. You always hear me. We should always conclude our prayers with that kind of faith. Amen.
Yes.
I know You heard me, Father, because You always hear me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Listen, there's a great slogan. It goes something like this. If you're willing to stand along as long as it takes, you won't be standing long. What does that mean? Dig your heels in. Say, I'm going to see this thing through to the end. I'm going to see this thing through to the breakthrough. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting believing. I'm not quitting speaking. I'm not quitting applying my faith, seeking God, pressing into my prayer closet until this thing breaks.
Yes.
I'm not just going to strike the ground 3 times and go, oh, well. No, you strike until the breakthrough comes. Amen. You believe until the breakthrough comes. You speak until the breakthrough comes. You pray like the widow in Luke chapter 18, day and night, night and day, knowing that your Father will answer swiftly. Amen. Stand together with me. There's a paradox about the last days. Because apparently in the last days, people are going to feel like Jesus is not really going to fulfill His promise about coming again. They're going to start scoffing. They're going to start laughing. You know, when you get an answer to your prayer, that kind of breakthrough like Daniel had, it's almost as good as Jesus coming into your situation. It's like Jesus coming back again, isn't it? And that's why He says in Luke, in that parable we read, when the Son of Man comes, will He find this kind of persistence? Apparently something about the last generation, the people that are on the earth at the end times, the trouble that's going to surround us is going to make us feel like He's not going to come. And apparently prayer life is going to feel a little more stressful in the last days. Possibly it will feel like God's not answering your prayers. Maybe we're going to have to pray harder than any other generation. Why would that be? Possibly the devil is fighting prayer more in the last days than he is at other times in history. One of the prayers we should pray on a regular basis, and I awakened myself to it again this week. I told you about it a while back, but it's easy to get rusty with it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. What are we saying? God, the earth is suffering. And the only way it's going to be cured, the only way it's going to be healed, the only way creation is going to quit groaning Even the animal life, the plant life, they're all suffering.
Yes.
Until Jesus comes.
Right.
And so we make that the prayer on our lips. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Say it with me. Come, Lord Jesus. And that's one of the prayers in the end times that we must pray regularly and believe that He will come. He will not delay. Again, Satan will be resisting. I think probably our generation, like I said, may have more resistance to fight than any other generation because the devil knows his time is short. The Bible says he's furious. He's furious. But as I've said before, heaven's watching us. We've been given more tools than any other generation to do what we're called to do as Christians. It's upon us to apply our faith. Fast? Yeah, you might be called to skip a meal here and there. Press into God. Say, God, I'm not letting go until I see this breakthrough. Daniel did it. He was resisted, but God broke through. Why? Because he said in that scripture, you're my beloved. Folks, we're beloved. And I encourage you, pray about everything. Why? Because every time you get a prayer answered, it encourages your faith. It reminds you, I'm righteous. He is hearing me. Right? That actually worked. So you do it again. And you do it again and again and again. You increase your prayer life. And stay in faith. Because we're living in dark times. But we're not without hope. Amen? And we're not without reinforcements. We got Gabriel. We have Michael. We've got the reinforcements we need. Everything that we'll need in our generation. I don't say what I said a moment ago in gloom or doom. Not at all, but just to be realistic. But like I said earlier, whatever we face, He gives more grace.
Yes.
We're going to have more grace, I believe, than any other generation of Christians that ever walked the earth. Because
yes.
God knows what we need to finish the race. Amen?
Yes.
Let's cry out to Him today. Father, we thank You that You always hear us. You always hear us. You've put us in the Beloved. Our prayers are answered in Christ. They are yes and amen. And Lord, there may be times that things seem delayed. Things seem protracted. Things seem like they're held up, like even that You're not listening. But we know the truth after reading Your words of life today. You are listening. And You release the command, even at the beginning of our prayers, every time. You always answer immediately. And so we'll stand in faith, we'll believe in faith, and we'll not give up. We'll be like that persistent widow. And we thank You for the grace that You give us in these last days. May we present faith here on the earth to You, Jesus, when You come. May You find faith in Your church and on our lips, in our prayer life, in our homes, in our job situations, in everything that pertains to us, faith. In You, our good God. We love You, Jesus. We love You. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. Amen. Keep praying, keep believing, and don't quit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.